everybody. It's time for Snipes and Stripes right here on NoFilter.net. There's no question this is the best podcast for so many reasons, and one of them is because of my good friend, Mr. Tim Peel. I am Jeremy Roenick, my good friend and partner, Tim Peel, looking good with his wife's glasses on, buddy. What's going on? How are we doing,
you
know,
pal? I'm going to give a shout out to Kelly Chase. First of all, I didn't even tell you this the other day. He called me yesterday or Wednesday, and he's in remission right now. He's got to do he's got to do two more rounds of chemo, but he's in remission. Things are looking awesome for Chaser. So shout out to our boy. We love Chaser.
Wow, that's fantastic news. That's fantastic news.
He's the one that told me to go to the Dollar Tree and buy $1 glasses because I need about 10 pairs of cheaters all over my house.
Yeah, we have 10 or 12 of them also too. But hold on. Before you get there, we got to make sure that everybody knows that this edition is sponsored by Whiskey in the Wild. Go to whiskeyinthewild.com. Get the best chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey that you'll ever have in your entire life. Probably one of the best drinks you'll ever have. And for our great partner, Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source to all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite teams past the playoffs with in-game live betting. Contests are on all player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile device. Head to Bet Online today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And remember, Bet Online, the game starts here. So thanks to Bet Online. They are fantastic. They've been a great partner. What's on your mind?
Hey, listen, first of all, instead of Peelzy, I would like to be known as Nostradamus now.
You mean Nostradamus?
Nostradamus.
And why? Listen, you're not Nostradamus because some of your hockey picks. So tell me why you're Nostradamus.
Because I called it a week ago. I said that... I got to turn on my lights here. I said that
we talk about Columbus.
Jarmo Kekalainen would had to go. Like something had to happen. He had to go, and they made the move yesterday. John Davidson unfortunately let him go. It was the right call, and it's unfortunate. He's a good person, but you know what? Good people in this business get fired all the time. And you and I have been down that path before, but Columbus had to make a move. They just, nothing was working for them there, bud. He's been there 11 years. They made the playoffs a few times. They've never got out of the first round. I don't know even what their identity is there. They don't have an identity. You've talked about Arizona having an identity this year. They've got an identity. I don't know what Columbus's is. And, you know, it's unfortunate for Jarmo. He's a good man, but it had to happen.
Yeah, I mean, 11 years, it's a lot. You know, I think the owners gave him ample time to put together a good team. I don't know what the difference is mentality-wise between European GMs and North American GMs, to tell you the truth. I don't know Jarmo at all, so I couldn't kind of tell you his persona per se, but listen, they've changed their coach how many times, they've made trades, they've signed players. At some point it has to change, and usually it changes with the mentality with the GM. Look what happened in Philly changed their GM, they changed their president. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a different mentality, and there is a message of what their identity is that is relayed through a very powerful and strong coach in John Tortorella. It is kind of a crazy question, and it's why it hasn't worked in Columbus. Like, what is it about that team that can't get them over the hump? Because they've been in the league for now, what, 20 years now? 22?
I did 24. I did their home opener in the year 2000. They've been in the league
24 years, and they've probably made the playoffs, what, three times?
I think five, but That's at the max. I think five.
Okay, well, that's still not a good percentage if you're a team that's looking to make money in the most prosperous time of the year, which is playoffs.
Correct.
And just so everybody understands why I just said that, a lot of people don't realize that players' salaries end the day that game 82 finishes.
Correct.
So they finish in April. So once April ends, the players are no longer paid. The owners now, whatever happens from that point on, goes straight to the team. Hence, playoff money, ticket sales. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to make the playoffs, because they make the most out of their ticket sales, out of their playoff money that they can put right back into their pocket. So if you continue to miss the playoffs year after year after year, you are not subsidizing a lot of that money, that regular season payroll money, to try to get ahead. And Columbus, I can't even imagine what they're like financially, buddy.
100%. You know, St. Louis, for example, Tom Stillman, who owns the team with other investors, they pretty much break even throughout the year, and because they spend to the cap. You know, he's a good owner. And to your point, they make their money if they make the playoffs. And it is paramount that they make the playoffs. So, and I have to correct myself, because I said they didn't get to the second round. They beat Tampa that 1 year. Remember when they beat Tampa?
When they had the best record.
Exactly.
No, they won the most games ever by an NHL team and lost in the first round. Just like Boston broke Tampa's record with most wins, and they lost in the first round. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know what? It's unfortunate, but things happen. A few things that I wanted to talk about with you today, before we get into the teams, breaking news just a few minutes ago, Milan Lucic, the police have dropped the charges on him, JR, because of a legal term, it's called marital something, where the wife does not have to testify or speak against her husband. And so they've dropped the charges, and the Bruins made a statement that Milan Lucic will not be with the team the remainder of the season. So not condoning domestic abuse, that's the last thing that we're doing. But I, as a hockey player and as a guy that reffed him for his entire career, it's a tough way to see him end his career, because I guarantee you nobody's going to bring him on. He's done.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with your statement. I've known Milan for a long time. I've been close with him for a long time. I know what kind of person he is. He's an incredible competitor. He's an incredible athlete, but he's also a very strong-headed and very tough-branded mentality sort of person. I don't condone anything of this nature. It's hard for me to comment because I don't know what exactly happened. Nobody does. But still, the situation is the situation. And it is, you know, once you get accused of something, it's really hard to shake off that persona or that black mark that somebody had put on you. Now, and by the way, Milan Lucic has had a great career. If this is how it ends, it's really sad and real catastrophe. But it goes to show you what the mentality of the league is right now. And their belief in not condoning anything of this nature, any kind of anything sexually aroused or sexually provoked or domestic violence, anything of that nature.
Nor should they, right?
Nor should they. I'm exactly right. But it's almost like the league has now gotten to a there's no second chances anymore. This is what ends. So if the league and Boston Bruins aren't letting Milan Lucic back because of their stance against these kind of situations, I'm really scared for the five young kids in the World Junior situation that just gave themselves up to the Ontario police. It's going to be really, really interesting, because if this continues in the same trend that the National Hockey League has been showing, those five kids' careers could be done.
I think they are done. And not to put the cart before the horse, we need to let the legal system work its way out. But you know, the I've read a lot of articles on this situation with the four NHLers that were suspended, and then the one kid that was drafted, Formentine from Ottawa, that's playing in Europe. And the court date, it doesn't look like they're going to go to even court until 2026. So these kids aren't going to play. These young men aren't going to play for the next year and a half, 2 years. And then whatever happens, happens. It's the world we're living in now, and it's a PR nightmare for any team to maybe bring somebody on like this. And you know what? If they brought it on themselves, and shame on them, because sexual assault and anything like that is disgusting. I've got a daughter. You've got daughters.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. But I think their careers are done, buddy. I think they're done. And I think that's why Philadelphia has really tried to draft goalies in the last year or so, because I think they had an inkling that this might happen. And this Sam Harrison that's playing for Philadelphia, it's a small sampling, but he looks like the real deal right now.
Interesting. I mean, that's a very good way to put it. And it's really sad. I mean, granted, if there are places to play for players like this, they could go to Europe, they could go to Russia. They could still make some money, yeah. but it's not the National Hockey League, and it's still sad, and it's not what anybody wants to see. So,
Hey, very, very quickly, and I'll just touch on it because I love the guy. And that's Phil the Thrill Kessel. I saw a video of him, skating with Abbotsford the other day, which is Vancouver's farm team. And, Phil came up to me one game. I always loved Phil. He's just an easygoing
he's
guy.
He's a happy, go lucky, kind of jubilant, goofy, kind of a goofy mentality. He's the greatest. He is great.
I don't have my stats in front of me, but I think he scored 22. He played 82 games last year. He played all 82 games. The guy's shaped like a pear. Okay. His body, he's not getting mistaken for an Abercrombie and Finch model. Okay. and he still scored 22 goals and played in 82 games. I think, and Tocchet loves Phil because of what he brings.
Yeah, they're very close. They've been very close since Pittsburgh days.
And he loves him because, exactly. And he loves him because he knows what he's like in the dressing room, and his teammates like him. His teammates love Phil. And so, you know what? Wouldn't be surprised if we see him suiting up for the Canucks down the stretch. And
why would the Canucks risk what they have going right now? For
you know what? Injuries.
Kessel.
Depth scoring. I totally get, but you.
Okay,
can't
so let have, me. Okay, so that's a good. That's a great answer. So is your answer that Phil Kessel will not be in the lineup unless they have injuries come playoff time?
No. I think he's the type of guy. You can move him in and out of the lineup, and he'll be fine with that. He'll go up to the press box and he'll chow down like five or six hot dogs when he's not dressed. Yeah. And that's not a shot at Phil, because the reason I said that is that infamous picture when he won the cup, I think it was with Pittsburgh or Vegas, and he filled, you know, his teammates are, they're letting their kids eat ice cream and cereal out of it. And Phil, for a joke, because he knows everyone razzes him about his weight and his body, fills the Stanley Cup with hot dogs. And I go, that's why people love Phil Kessel.
That's right, awesome.
Because he can make fun of himself, right? So,
yep. Well, he is a very good hockey player, and he can absolutely, just for your fans that can't see, we have a picture of Phil with the hot dogs and the Stanley Cup. It's fantastic. But it's, I think it is, he is a dynamic player. I mean, he scored 412 goals in his career. I mean, this kid can score.
That's unbelievable. Right?
And he's dynamic down the wing. He's probably a defensive liability, but when the power play comes, he can definitely put the puck in the net. So I don't hate it. I love Phil Kessel. I've always loved Phil Kessel. So, you know, everybody's picked on Phil Kessel his whole career, ever since he was in Toronto and when he got traded from Boston. And it's just one thing after another. So for Phil, he's just like, just leave me alone. Let me go play. play hockey. Let me play poker and eat my hot dogs and go to bed and leave me alone.
If you saw Phil Kessel at a bar and you pointed to your wife or your child and you said, there's a guy that scored 400 goals in the league. They'd look at you like, come on. He looks like he works at Procter and Gamble or he's an accountant or something. So, but listen, speaking about scoring, we got to talk about AM 34.
Jeez.
He scored three last night in a row for Toronto. The guy is literally the best, to me, the best goal scorer in the NHL right now.
I mean,
you scored a lot of goals, buddy. What do you think?
He is, without question, the best goal scorer in the National Hockey League, bar none, than anybody right now. He is the most pure goal scorer. He has the best shot. He has the most accurate shot.
It's unbelievable.
And he has taken over Alex Ovechkin as the most dynamic goal scorer in hockey today and will go down as the best American goal scorer in the history of goal scoring, both by being dynamic in terms of his goal scoring ability and by how many goals he scores. And he's got 45 goals in what, 52 games?
He's going to be a more prolific goal scorer than Mike Modano and Jeremy Roenick.
100%. I mean, I think he probably already has 400 goals by now, and he's still only like 29 years old or 28 years old, 28, if 28, maybe 27. But this guy can just do it all. He's a dynamic. He's a dynamic player and
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He is. But guess what, bud? You got to do it in the playoffs.
100%.
You got to do it in the playoffs.
And that's the knock against him right now.
Exactly. Yep. That's all anybody cares about. They beat Philly last night 4-3. If I was Toronto, I would not want to play Philly in the playoffs because Philly will tighten it up. And
they were pound
as
hard.
As you and I both know, you don't win playoffs 6-5 very rare. It's usually 3-2, 2-1. You know, it's a tighter checking game. His time and space gets taken away. So listen, Toronto fans think that I hate the Leafs. I grew up a Leaf fan. I love the Leafs. I'd love to see them go on a big run. And it's, you know what? So it's his, listen, he's in his prime right now. It's time for him to take that to the next level in the playoffs. And let's see you do it in the playoffs, Austin.
Yeah. Well, again, that's the one knock against him. And it's like everybody holds their breath when it comes playoff time. Now, I don't think they have to worry about playoffs because you already said that the Toronto Maple Leafs aren't going to make the playoffs. So I don't think they have to worry about winning playoff games this year. That's according to Tim Peel.
When did I say that? Come on.
You don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
I must have had too much red wine on one of those broadcasts because Toronto's making the playoffs, even without Morgan Riley, who, as we both know, just got a 5-game suspension, which I'm fine with. David Perron got 6. The precedent had been set. I'm good with 5 games. He's going to appeal. He is appealing it. But guess what? Every player that's appealed their suspensions this year, none of them have been.
It never does. It never does. It's happened twice that I've ever known about it. Twice.
The only one was a couple of years ago. Spezza got reduced from 6 to 5 or 5 to 4. And because people, I don't understand. I guess the PA has to do it. You were a member of the PA.
Yeah,
the
I think
PA
Tom Wilson. I think Tom Wilson had one shrunk into a couple of years ago. But that's the only time I've ever heard of it.
Because basically, if he rescinds it, if Gary lowers it, basically saying I don't agree with my employee George Parros in the Department of Player Safety.
Yeah,
right. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, they won't do that.
He won't do that. So
no. It's a hard enough job. It's a hard enough job for George Parros to do that, to have his boss turn around and say, I don't agree with you. You're not doing a good job, and rescind it. I totally agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen,
you definitely will.
We're talking about Toronto. We're on the Eastern Conference here right now. We have to talk about, to me, one of the biggest surprises, and people may go, what do you mean it's a big surprise? And one of the biggest surprises to me right now this year is the Florida Panthers. And I'll tell you why. They bullied their way through the playoffs last year. Reinhardt, Bennett, Gudas. They bullied people. Like they it was a physical game. They really took it to teams. I didn't expect them to replicate their success that they had this year. And I think Sam Bennett has got 39 goals right now.
No, that's Reinhardt.
I'm sorry, Reinhardt. He is in for a big payday. And what are your thoughts? Because I didn't think they got in, as you and I talked about early in the year. They got in because Pittsburgh lost to Columbus and Chicago at the end of the year. They were a breakaway away from losing in five games to Boston. And next thing you know, they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. I thought they might take a little bit of a step back. I got to give Paul Maurice and his coaching staff a tremendous amount of credit here. Matthew Tkachuk, and I know you want to talk about him, is on a tear. But they're tied with Boston right now for first overall in the Eastern Conference. This is a friggin' good hockey club, bud.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's turned into one of the best clubs in the National Hockey League. They didn't start out so well in the beginning of the year. And guess it just kind of goes along with everything else. Guess who else didn't have a very good start to his year? Matthew Tkachuk. Tkachuk is the heart and soul and the engine that runs that team. There is no question of anybody that you ask. That kid is one of the most prolific leaders in the National Hockey League for more than one reason. And if you ask everybody in that locker room why that locker room, that team ticks, every single one of them will say because of Matthew Tkachuk. The reason why they did so well in the playoffs. Now, granted, they got lucky to be in the playoffs because Pittsburgh choked.
Yeah, they
choked
did.
In gargantuan portions. But then they get in, and they know that they got lucky, and they never quit against the Boston Bruins. And they found a way to get past the Boston Bruins. And then you know what happened? Matthew Tkachuk put his will on his team and said, listen, we are going to be a hard team to play against. We are going to be in your face. We're going to punch you in the mouth. We are going to do it as a team, not individually. It's going to be one line after another. Punishing, punishing, punishing. And you know what they did? They did it as a team, and they believed that they could win after coming back from Boston. And that's what we talk about having identity. Now, it's okay to be able to do that in the playoffs, but you can't do that in an 82-game season.
No, you
can't. And I think this is where in the beginning of the season, I thought Florida maybe would think about having that same mentality, but Matthew Tkachuk was off. You had Barkov was off. Reinhardt was flying high. Sam Bennett's also a great leader on that team, and their goaltending has been very good. But this is where I think it's unbelievable, because this team started really turning it up at the turn of the year when we turned at New Year's. Mm-hmm. Matthew Tkachuk in January of 2024 was the highest scoring point man in the National Hockey League. Ahead of McDavid.
That's unbelievable.
Ahead of McDavid, ahead of Kucherov, ahead of McKinnon, ahead of everyone. He had 32 points in 17 games in January. And this team, again, grabbed all that energy that Matthew Tkachuk was having and playing his best hockey, and have now propelled them to being just a juggernaut in the league right now. Sam Reinhardt, do you think Buffalo would want Sam Reinhardt back right now? A career year in goal scoring. The guy has so much confidence going, and it always seems to be in a contract year, but still, that's sometimes could be the most pressurized year where people could choke. So good signs for Reinhardt. Great signs for the Florida Panthers, and my hat's off to Matthew Tkachuk, who is just a warrior.
And you know, like it wasn't that long ago. It was actually the first half of the year, maybe even almost the entire season last year. People were carving Bobrovsky, and he didn't have his game, and all of a sudden he just found it in the playoffs. He's been stellar this year. And then their other goaltender, Anthony Stolarz, he stopped 45 last night in Buffalo in the 4-0 win. They're getting tremendous goaltending. They've got you know, as you know, God, like Alexander Barkov, Sasha Barkov, to me is one of the most. He's unbelievable. He's such a good player.
If he played quietest superstar in the league.
100%. If he played in a bigger market, he would get so much more press. Then they've got Cousins, Ekblad, OEL, Kulikov, Lomberg, Lindell, McCola, Carter Verhaeghe. Like, they've got a hell of a team, bud. Like, that is – it's that Eastern Conference, man, if it comes down to Boston and Florida again, which it could, it's going to be a great series.
Yeah, but again, this Florida knows their identity. They know how they can play, and they know what makes them good. Like, Matthew Tkachuk did an interview the other day after the Pittsburgh Penguin game. And it was really interesting to listen to him talk about, for the first period, our mentality was there wasn't even a puck on the ice. We didn't even care if there was a puck on the ice. We were going to pound the hell out of Pittsburgh's defensemen and just wear them down for a second and third period for the second half of the game. So when you hear, like, when you hear interview like that, that's what the people want to hear. They want to hear, what are you guys talking about in the locker room? What are you guys saying? What's the mentality? What's the message? And Matthew Tkachuk literally said on national television, our mentality in that locker room was forget there's a puck, play everybody, everybody's body, and finish your checks on every single one. Let's wear them down to the core and make them too tired to keep up with us on the second half of the game. That's exactly what they did, and they just trounced them.
Yeah, this team is built for the playoffs. It's going to be exciting. You mentioned Pittsburgh, their power play. I don't get a chair. They won 4-1 over Chicago last night. Connor Bedard was back in the lineup. He got an assist last night, so good to see him back. But Pittsburgh's power play has been horrendous this year, and I just don't get it with the personnel that they've got on there with the back end with Carlson and Letang. I don't understand what's going on there. Pittsburgh, it's sad for me to say this because you know how much I love Sid. They are not going to make the playoffs. They've got
they're not. And by the way, if you were Sid, would you be just pissed? Because look, he's got 29 goals this year. Like, look at the season that Sidney Crosby is having right now, and still his team is struggling to make the playoffs. I haven't heard hide nor hair of Evgeny Malkin at all this year.
Nothing. And they're you know, the rumors this week that they're going to trade
Gensel.
So I don't know.
Well, Gensel's out now. Gensel's out 4 weeks with an upper body injury, so that could hamper things. I think Rust is kind of gone down the wayside. I mean, Carter's done.
I love Jeff Carter, but
he's awesome. He's awesome.
So we were talking about the Toronto game and AM34 getting a hat trick and beating Philly.
How many hat tricks does he have this year? Six?
I think so. I think he's got six.
That's insane. I had 11 in my whole career. He has six this year.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I had 11. He has six.
Yeah. Yeah, but you had 11 when everyone was hooking and holding and cross-checking.
It was a lot harder to score back then.
Right?
Yeah.
But I was going to bring up Philly and Torts. You know, I love Torts. He's done a tremendous job in Philly. But he had a quote yesterday, and I want to get your thoughts on it, being a former player, because if I'm a player on his team – and he said, players today are dumb. And and I don't know exactly what he meant by that, but he talked about they make a lot of mistakes and so on. If you played for him and you heard that the head coach just called players dumb, what would you think?
I would laugh.
Yeah?
I would laugh because I'd say, he's not talking about me. No, because I was a cerebral hockey player. I was one of those guys that I did what I did because I was so smart. These other guys, I do believe, yes, he is very right, because I see the plays that some of these kids make and the decisions that they make, and I'm like, that was just a dumb move. That was a dumb play. That was a dumb pass. So, yeah, you're going to have more I don't want to say uneducated, but less – talented
IQ,
talented hockey mind IQ. Players. Yeah. Much less less IQ hockey wise than guys with more IQ. So
yeah, they can all skate. They can all skate and shoot these days. But I think.
Listen to me talk about IQ when I couldn't even get my message out. But you know what I'm saying?
No, I do. I do. And it's an interesting idea because I see it at all levels right now. Kids, they can all skate way better than when you played, right? Every one of them. The fourth liners can skate as well as the first liners. The only difference between a fourth liner today and a first liner is skill set. They can all skate as well. And that's what separates or differentiates fourth liners from first liners right now is skill set, because they all can skate. And that's the game. So
Did you happen to catch, and this is, I thought this was a band from the game, or at least in ancient times. Did you see the bag skate that Patrick Waugh put the New York Islanders on the other day?
I saw that, and I loved it.
I loved it too. It brought me back to my Keenan days, my early days in Chicago, where we would just get bag skated for an hour, no pucks, no lights, no nothing, and right down to the cement underneath the ice. We just stopped and started our asses off. But
I loved it. Hey, before you say anything else, so I'm in Nashville right now. I apologize for the lighting. I'm in a boardroom, but my son Bronson, we're playing in a tournament here in Nashville. This morning we won 3-1. Then we tied this afternoon 3-3. And the game we won 3-1 after the second period, we were up 2-1, but we were playing like dog shit. I mean, we weren't skating.
Lucky to be up 2-1.
Right, lucky to be up 2-1. And I'm the assistant coach, and our head coach, Adam Schweitzer, brings everybody in after the second period to the boards, and he goes, line up on the boards. And everyone lined up, and he said, skate. And they skated over, and they skated back. He goes, one more time. And the point was, get your friggin' feet moving. Get your friggin' feet moving. So I love what Patrick Waugh did. That's the element. Patrick is old school, and he's going to bring – there's nothing wrong with old school. These coaches need – they have to adapt to the players in the era that we're living in now. But you also have to – there has to be some accountability. There's still accountability in our game, JR. There was accountability when you played. There's accountability now. And if you're not working, then guess what? You're going to get bag skated.
Yep. And listen, I'm just watching the video that's on our feed right now. For those of you who cannot see the video, it is the bag skate of the teams going up the full length of the ice, back the full length, and then all the way up. So there's three laps to that each individual bag skate. And when you do that for 40 minutes, let me tell you something. You feel like you're going to throw up. Your legs feel like 1,000 pounds. You get spinning dizzy, and it's just exhausting, and you can't breathe. And these are the things that these guys are going to remember next time they go into a game, because I can guarantee you that not many guys in the National Hockey League, and including the Jersey Devil, I mean the New York Islanders that just did that, are used to those bag skates, because it's almost like it's null and void in the game anymore. So we're going to see what kind of message that sends to that team, because we have two disciplinarians now in the National Hockey League. We have John Tortorella, which is more of a verbal guy. But now we got Patrick Waugh, who's old school, very disciplined, very stern and strict, that will not be afraid to throw old-fashioned tactics into play. And that's give you a good old-fashioned bag skate until you throw up. What a message to send these kids today. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens with the New York Islanders moving forward.
I guarantee you Lou Lamoriello was sitting up there, and he loved it. Lou would have loved it. And that's why he brought Patrick Waugh in. That's for one of many reasons, but that's one reason. You mentioned New Jersey and L.A. The L.A. Kings, I don't know what the hell is going on there, JR. They go into Buffalo. They lose 7-0 2 days ago to the Buffalo Sabres. 7-0.
Yeah.
Then they go to New Jersey last night, kind of a statement game for them to see what they're made of. They win 2-1. And I'm concerned that this team, and you might think I'm crazy, they might not make the playoffs.
It's with the way the trend is going right now, they're not going to. And sitting here watching all these Buffalo goals, these guys are breaking down. you can see that there is no effort. There is no feet moving. They are not protecting the middle of the ice. A lot of these shots are coming from very high percentage scoring areas. And that is simply a mind frame to do the job that the coach has outlined in the system. This looks like pond hockey to me. The LA Kings right now are so flustered, and I don't know if it's because of the change of coaches now, change of system, change of method, change of mentality, change of the communication. The message, I don't know, but it just seems like it's like a Chinese fire drill out there. You just don't know what's going on, unfortunately.
You and I have a tremendous, everybody in hockey has a tremendous amount of respect for Rob Blake. Rob Blake's one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet.
Him and Luke Robitaille are two of the greatest people that hit the NHL has ever put out into the market.
Him and Lucky Luke, like that LA Kings team are lucky to have them. They're tremendous people. He fires Todd. He promotes Jim Hiller as the interim coach. Really, what's going to change? Like, we saw other teams fire their coach. We see Dean Evason get fired in Minnesota and the job John Hines is doing. We see Chris Knobloch take over for Jay Woodcroft in Edmonton. If you're going to fire the coach, shouldn't you replace him with a new voice? Jim Hiller is a familiar voice to that team. So
you're making the softer voice the louder voice with the same message.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So hey, I thought they should have just gone out and got Joel Quenneville. Bring him right in. You got to make a run for the playoffs. You want to get your team all worked out. You want a guy who I think deserves another shot. I would have, whether they reach out to him or not, I don't know. But that would have been one of the first guys I would have called.
Yeah, I am totally on board with you, and I've got my thoughts on that. Let me say this. I text with Joel, and I was texting with him recently. Nothing's happening, and it's unfortunate. And the league, for whatever reason, or not for whatever reason, we know the reasons, but everyone deserves a second chance. Is they have made a decision that I don't think they're going to let Joel back in the league.
And again, there's that same mentality we talked about in the beginning of the show, right? With their thoughts on that specific topic.
They don't want the bad press.
I know somebody who would have loved to have been in LA living at the beach and going to practice in his flip flops would have been Chief. That would have been an amazing
100%,
hire.
100%. Right? I think Chief Craig would do a great job.
Yeah, Ruby would be great there because that's a team that needs more physical structure and verbal structure. And we know that Craig Berube is not afraid to throw his voice around the locker room.
How about when people said, and maybe there was some validity to it when the Southern teams first came in the league, and they said, you know, you're not going to win in Tampa because the weather's too good. You're not going to win in Fort Lauderdale. The weather's too good. Guys aren't thinking about hockey. Well, the Florida Panthers built their practice facility not far, JR. You and I spent a lot of nights at that elbow room in Fort Lauderdale. They built it in the Las Olas area. And do you know how a lot of their players get to practice now? Golf carts. Golf carts. They take their golf carts to practice. They're wearing flip-flops. And so guess what? I guess that analogy of you can't have – because Tampa last night took it to Colorado 6-3. And that analogy that you can't win because it's warm weather and guys aren't thinking about hockey, that doesn't fly anymore. And that brings us to the next point, the Avalanche losing 6-3. They've won one game. They're 1-5 in their last six. What is going on in Colorado, buddy?
I think this team has done so well in the beginning of the season of where they are. I think they're already hoping for the playoffs to come. I really think this team was on such a roll. They were playing so well. I think there's a little fatigue that's in their game right now. And that when you do have fatigue physically, you're going to have fatigue mentally. I don't see them having the same jump right now. I think they know they have a team that's probably going to be favored come playoff time. And I think just in the back of their mind, they're going through the doldrums of the National Hockey League season. Sometimes the doldrums are Christmas time through the end of January, but maybe for this team, because during that time, Colorado was flying. But maybe because they were winning so easily and having such a good season with McKinnon being right there at the top of the leaderboard and scoring, I think coming out of the All-Star game, I think they let their guard down. I think mentally they let their guard down. I think they're tired. I think they are uninterested in where they are right now in the season, because I think they know they're going to make the playoffs. It's just where they're going to finish and who they're going to play, but they know they could beat anybody. It's very easy to get into a lackluster mentality when you're as good as Colorado, you have as many games in a season as they do, and they were dominating so much. And just that break at the time that the All-Star break came was just not conducive for Colorado, I don't think.
Complacency, I guess. You know, we talk about
Colorado. But it's easy to get complacent with a team like that, right? It really is.
But you know what? I got to give a shout out to my buddy John Cooper, because what Coop does in Tampa is truly remarkable. Sergachev goes down. Vasilevskiy was out for the first 3-4 months. They're in a playoff position right now. He's an unbelievable coach, buddy.
He's arguably the best coach in the National Hockey League and has been for the last 7-8 years.
Well, and what sucked was when they canceled the Olympics, I had texted him that morning about something, and I go, how you doing? He goes, not good. He goes, they just canceled the Olympics, because he was going to be the head coach of the Olympic team.
Oh, wow.
A couple of years ago, and he deserves it. He's an incredible coach.
You know what's great about John is John Cooper is a player's coach.
100%.
He loves his players. He treats his players the way his players deserve to be treated at that time. He still loves them, but if that player is acting up, he will make sure that he gives them a little kick in the ass. He told me a story of him sitting Braden Point and Kucherov in the third period of a game last year, and Kuch was pissed off at him, and he didn't care. He's a guy that coaches his team the way his team deserves to be coached, and they respect him tremendously, because you know what? He is one of the guys. He is literally one of the guys, and he understands. This is what's different between John Cooper and some other like major coaches that were on the top of the coaching world. I won't mention any names, but you can probably name your own. He knows that the players come first. He knows that the fans come to see the players. He knows it's the players that sell the tickets. He knows the players are the superstars. He doesn't try to be a superstar. He just does the same thing every day. He treats his players with respect and class, and his coaching staff and the fans. So John Cooper is the epitome of class. He's the epitome of understanding how to be a winning coach, and he never changes. And for that, I love him.
Well, listen, off topic, but it just came to my mind because I'm in Music City right now, Nashville. So Dallas is in town last night, and Dallas takes it to Nashville 9-2. Okay. And Duchesne gets 2 goals against his former team. But the best part of the story is, and I don't know if you saw it on social media, I didn't know that Matt Duchesne could play the guitar and sing. He was on stage at Tootsie's, buddy. And you and I have spent a lot of nights at
after
Tootsie's
they lost
in Nashville.
No,
he's playing for Dallas now, and they won. They won 9-2 last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Dallas obviously stayed over, which was a smart move. And he was on stage at Tootsie singing last night. It's all over social media. The Dallas Stars Twitter feed tweeted it out about Duchesne. It's unbelievable. It's hilarious.
Hey, listen, that's a big game for him. I mean, Duchesne has made his rounds around the league and has been criticized a lot.
And
he's a very good hockey player. He is a solid hockey player. He's a good goal scorer. I think he has underachieved over the last couple of years, but it seems like he's found a nice home with Dallas. And to go into Nashville, and I remember going into my old teams It's a great feeling when you come out on top in front of the fans that used to play in front of. And I'm sure he just went to, he just kept the party going across the street to Tootsie's.
100%.
Good for him. Hey, listen, you play hard, you work hard, you play hard. So good for him.
Is there any team in the NHL that has been as successful as Dallas has this year that has flown under the radar? If you watch TNT, ESPN, Sportsnet, TSN, any of the national networks in Canada and the US, they very rarely talk about the Dallas Stars. And they're just quietly going amongst their business. Pete DeBoer is a tremendous coach. Jim Nill's a great GM. They've got a very good hockey club there in Dallas. But no one's talking about them.
It seems to be every year. And every year they seem to be right there at the end. I mean, they made it to the conference finals a couple of years ago and should have probably done it last year too. But I think if you ask any of those guys, I think they love the attention that they're getting. Yeah. They love the amount of attention. They let everybody talk about the Torontos, let everybody talk about Edmonton's, let everybody talk about the Rangers and Colorado and Boston Bruins and all that. Or Vancouver for that matter. They are just perfectly happy going into buildings and just putting on a can of whoop ass on teams, because that's what they've been doing lately. It's impressive.
I don't know if you saw, speaking about the Western Conference, I don't know if you saw any of the Edmonton St. Louis game last night. Edmonton was in St. Louis. St. Louis took it to them, scored six against Edmonton, 1-6-3. Jordan Binnington made two saves. One of them was on Zach Hyman, which was unbelievable glove save. And
That game shocked me with St. Louis that they took care of business like that.
Well, especially after they had 15 shots on net Tuesday night in Toronto, they fly home. They've been on the road. They fly home and they take it to the Edmonton Oilers. And it was impressive that Jordan Binnington right now, if this was an Olympic year, he would be one of the top two goalies on the Olympic team for sure.
Wow.
For sure. This kid is playing unbelievable right now. And his backup, Joel Hofer, who's a young kid, played in Portland in the WHL, is an incredible goalie too. He's a young kid. It'll be interesting to see, because right now they're in the eighth spot, but they're tied with LA right now with 60 points. It's going to be interesting because Doug Armstrong, who I consider one of the best GMs in the league, it'll be interesting to see what he does coming down the stretch, whether he subtracts or adds to that team. Robert Thomas is on fire. Jordan Kyrou's on fire. Jake Neighbors, your type of player, broken nose.
He's got like 18 or 19 goals this year.
He's got 19 goals. He's probably going to get 25 this year at the low end. People didn't see that coming into this year, that he was going to flourish and be that type of player. They're doing a good job, and you got to give a lot of credit to Drew Bannister, the coach. You know, I think St. Louis has surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, they definitely have turned it on over the last couple of weeks and given them a shot to get into that wild card spot and gain a true wild card spot come playoff time. You got to, again, it's they're playing to an identity, and we can't say that enough, right? It's been pretty impressive. You know, the New York Rangers are doing the same thing. New York Rangers are playing some amazing hockey. I heard somebody talk about on a podcast, they were talking about Chris Kreider. And he said Chris Kreider is going to go down as one of the greatest Rangers of all time. They're going to retire his jersey in the rafters of Madison Square Garden. I like Chris Kreider. I think he's a good player, but he's a very good player. But his number is not going to be retired into the rafters of Madison Square Garden with the history.
Yeah. You're going to put him up there with Richter and Jockeman and
Rod Gilbert,
like
Messier.
I agree. Like Leech. I'm a big Chris Kreider fan. I think he's probably had 10, 20 goal seasons.
Did he score 50 last year? Didn't he? I think he was pretty close. He was pretty close to 50. If he wasn't right at 50, he was knocking on the door last year. Had a great year, either last year or the year before. But he was knocking on the door. There's no question the kid can score goals. and he's found a way to play the game the right way. Because his first, in his early in his career, he was very lackluster, very non-energetic, and looked like he was afraid of a shadow. That's kind of Capo Caco, same thing. You know,
did you ever see Chris Kreider's legs?
The guy's a beast, man. He's a beast.
There's a video online of him standing in a pool
and jumping out
and landing on the deck. Now, I would land on my back if I got even if I got that high. Like his power is unbelievable. He's one of the most powerful skaters in the NHL. They got a big blow, not a big blow, but a blow to their team. Blake Wheeler's done for the year. I think he hurt his knee or hurt his, it said it was a leg injury today. And Jacob Trouba tweeted out something or made a statement on Wheeler, and it was very emotional. He goes, "We lost a good friend today from our team." So Wheeler must have been very well liked in that dressing room, because Trouba was very upset that Wheeler's done for the year.
Well, it's easy to like Wheeler. I mean, he's a good guy. There's a reason why he was the captain of Winnipeg for so long. The kid's a gamer. He can skate. He's a smart player. That is a big loss for the Rangers. I just don't know. I don't know why their goaltending has been, Shesterkin has been so.
I don't get it.
So off.
Jonathan Quick's been better than Shesterkin.
Yeah, Shesterkin is. Yeah, but I mean, you could have said last year Shesterkin was the best goaltender in the league.
Absolutely.
No, Sorokin, him with Shesterkin, obviously down with Vasilevsky, with Dallas Stars. What's his name? Dallas
Ottinger.
Ottinger. You know, these are great goaltenders, but Shesterkin has been awful this year.
I know. I'm not a goalie. I never played that position. It's got to be in their head, eh? It's got to be in their head. It's all mental.
Sure. Well, I've never been a goaltender, but I play one on television. But because I'm always saving the shots coming from you. So listen, this has been a lot of fun, buddy. It was a great show. We hit a lot of good points. Again, thanks to Bet Online for being a great sponsor. Whiskey in the Wild, go to whiskeyinthewild.com, grab your bottle today. I swear you will love it. It'll be an amazing thing to drink while you're watching Snipes and Stripes right here on No Filter. Thanks to my partner, Tim Peel. You're a beautiful man. We will see you on Wednesday for another episode of Snipes and Stripes.
Thanks, buddy.